Blog Talk Radio.
Moving ahead. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed that I am with you this morning. I am grateful for a wonderful evening on last night as we prayed and gave words of encouragement to leaders in the community. And I thank God for the shout out to the Ministerial Alliance of Springfield, Illinois, and vicinity. You guys are awesome. To shout out to my pastor, Pastor Jesse, who God gave this vision to. Thank you for allowing me to be on your committee. To have helped with this program. So thanking God for all of you who are in attendance and thanking God for my Moving Forward family. You guys are wonderful, and I'm grateful for you. But let's get into our word this morning, and let's go into prayer because we know that prayer changes all kind of things. Woo, hallelujah. You know, in marriage, God joins us together, and in our relationship with him, we are joined with him. So therefore, where God is joined together, let no one separate. Nothing can separate me from the love of Jesus. So I just want to say thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior. I am joined with him, and I am thankful to be with him, to be a part of his life, and he a part of mine. Lord God, I lift up today's word. I give it to you, Lord God, and ask you to lead and guide me in what to say in the way, Lord God. Let your Holy Spirit fall on me today, God, that what I say, what I speak, Lord God, as I pray, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. I cannot do this without you, Lord. So I ask you to take over, to hide me behind the veil, God. Hide me behind your throne. Lord God, hide me underneath your wings as you move, Lord God, as you show me, Lord God, as you speak through me, Lord God. For it is in you that I live and move and have my being. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. I am rejoicing in it, for I am your servant, God. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the most source of my strength and the strength of my life. Thanking God for another day of his grace. Thanking God for another day of his mercy. Thanking God for just being wonderful and great. The great I am is who he is, and the one who loves us completely and totally. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Highest praise goes to the most high God. So all I say again, hallelujah. So thank you all. Let's get started. We got some Old Testament, but it is mostly the New Testament word this morning. Our title is coming out of Matthew, and it's dealing with marriage. But, you know, I also like to look at this word as a joining of a relationship with the Lord as well, because we are joined with Jesus. And when we decide not to divorce God, because so many times people are divorcing God and they're not wanting to be involved in anything dealing with faith, anything dealing with the church, anything dealing with glorifying God, oh, I don't want to do all that. It's like a divorce. It's like I'm separating from you, God. And I don't want to separate from God because he has taken care of me better than anything else. And all I can say is how grateful I am to be his daughter, how grateful I am to know that I am loved by him. Give God some glory this morning. Can you stay with me before we get started? Hallelujah one more time. Hallelujah to the Most High God. And our psalm this morning is coming out of the 16th Psalm, and our proverbs are coming out of the Proverbs chapter 5, starting at verse 1. And our New Testament word is Matthew chapter 18. Through Matthew chapter 19. And so let's go there to Psalm 16. So the 16th Psalm, can you please turn to it? And it says this, it's a mention of David. Preserve me, O God, in you I put my trust. I'm going to say that one more time. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. Oh, my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another God, that little you. Their drink offering of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you, leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh, I love that word. I got to read that psalm again. 16th Psalm, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are the pleasures forevermore. And for the Holy Spirit, just one more time, I love this scripture. You will show me the path of your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand is pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. What a word. 17th Psalm, verses 1 through 7, a prayer of David. Prayer changes things. Prayer changed David's life. Prayer changes our life. Prayer will help you get rid of the muck and the mire. Prayer will help you get rid of whatever is the thorn in your side. Hallelujah. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have proposed that my mouth shall not transgress concerning the works of men. By the word of your lips, I have kept away from the path of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your path, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. God is a protector. God covers sons and his daughters. God loves us more than we could ever imagine. He loves you. He loves me. He cares about me. And as I go into the Psalm 16, some life lessons, it says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. 16 Psalm verse 7. God often gives us his counsel when we grow quiet enough to listen. I gotta say that again. God often gives us his counsel when we grow quiet enough to listen to him. While in bed or getting ready for sleep, we must be ready to listen at all times, because he may be ready to speak at any time. Remember when he called Samuel, he was just a little guy. He was just a little guy. And he called him, and Samuel had to learn to say, "Speak, Lord. I hear you. Here I am, Lord. Speak." You know, we got to have that, and I'm paraphrasing Samuel. So it is, "Here I am. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. I hear you." We got to listen and just say, here I am. God is wanting to speak to you. Here I am, Lord. Speak to me. I'm ready to listen. Let God speak to and through you today. In the 10th verse, it says, "You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." This verse is an important prophecy about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, quoted by Peter in Acts 2 and 27. Peter argued that since David had died and his body decayed, the verse has to apply to the Messiah, Jesus. That's who I believe it applies to. He died and came back. He was not left in Sheol. So I do believe that it was Jesus. And as we go into our proverb this morning, starting at the 5th chapter, verse 1, it says, "My son, attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey," come on now, "and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them." You know, when we talk about marriage, you can't get us equally yoked and think your marriage is going to last, because it's not. Because you're not yoked right. I don't believe that the word that we're speaking on today in Matthew is for the unequally yoked. I believe that God sends you the right person. And in that instant, that is when marriage is last. That is when a man who finds a wife finds a good thing. So many times, our young people and some of us old folks back in the day, y'all know who you are. Nobody is perfect. None of us were perfect. Some of us were blessed to marriage, but others were not, and made some mistakes, dipped with and slipped where they shouldn't have, with the person they shouldn't have dipped and slipped with, that they created a soul tie with. Got to be careful. But the Lord is telling us that when a man leaves his mother and his father and finds a wife, they become one. I do believe that you got to be careful that you not become the one with the one that's not for you. Because if you do, all you have is a life of misery. I am so grateful that I watched great parents who raised me love each other. You know, I watched my godfather, my uncle, and my aunt, my godparents, my mom and my dad is what I called them, and what I referred to them as. They loved each other. When she got sick, he took care of her. She never spent one day in a nursing home. Not one. My dad did not spend one day in a nursing home. God is good. But when you believe that it's the dead do you part, God watches over the widow, the widower. I believe that. God is good, but you have to wait on the Lord and listen for his voice. Don't just jump in with every woman. As Solomon is telling his son, that you got to be careful who you get in with. You know, for the lips of an immoral woman, and I'm going to say man too, drip honey, and their mouth is smoother than oil. You got to be careful. And it goes on to say, therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. And you can be talking about adultery as well. Lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. You know, let aliens be filled with your wealth and your laborers go to the house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed and say, how I have hated instruction and my heart despises correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. We got to listen to the voice of God and the wisdom that he gives. And continue to drink water from your own section. In other words, don't be out there committing adultery. Don't be going where you don't need to go, slipping and dipping where you don't need to be. And it says, and running water from your own well. Come on. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Come on now. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? In other words, Solomon is telling his son, don't be out there committing adultery. Don't be going and slipping, I call it slipping and dipping, where you don't belong, going where you shouldn't be. Sexual immorality causes more problems in marriages and in society than anything. And it says this, remove your way, verse 8 of chapter 5 of Proverbs. Remove your way from her and do not go near the door of her house. God's word tells us to flee sexual immorality, Corinthians 6:18 also speaks on this, not to test our spiritual maturity by seeing how close we can get to to it without falling into it. If you know something tempts you, stay away from it. Come on now. If you know that you got an issue, speaking to the choir here, with shopping, stay out of the store. You don't need to buy another shirt. You don't need to buy another top. You don't need to buy anything. But you got more than enough that you got to still put away. And I'm talking to me. I can't talk about nobody but myself because I have a shopping addiction. And I'm asking God right now, Lord, remove that. Remove that thorn. Remove that thorn. You know, I had to take my Macy's credit card out of my wallet. I was like, oh, no, I'm not using credit this year. Not doing it. So leave me alone, devil. I am not buying it. I don't need it, and I don't want it. So see ya and walk out. Walk through. Come on now. Got to learn how to walk through. That's all I'm saying for the shopaholics out there. Walk through. Close your eyes. You don't need that jacket. You don't need those pair of shoes. You don't need another purse. Come on now. Speak it. I'm speaking to me. I can't talk about anybody else. You know, there are folks that have alcohol addictions, and there are folks that have drug addictions, and there are folks that have addictions to pornography or whatever. Mine was shopping. You know, it was therapy. Shopping therapy. What did I say? Shopping therapy. No, it's not. It's an addiction. And you need to ask God, remove it from me. Lord, do not let me buy anything else. Remove that desire from my spirit. So I'm asking God and believing God for help with my own situation. So y'all pray for me. Because, again, not perfect. I just love the Lord. So I'm asking God, as Paul had his thorn in his side, that's mine. And I'm asking him to remove it. You know, because all it does is create clutter in your life. You know, a cluttered mind. You know, you start seeking things you don't need to do. And I don't need anything else. So thanking God for that. Ah, thank you, Lord, for clarity. God will show you yourself. When you read the word, God will show you you. So I am thankful, grateful, and blessed to be a daughter of the Most High God. We don't mind putting you in your place and showing you yourself. Whew, thank you, Jesus. So please join me in Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to be reading chapter 18 this morning. And chapter 19, I believe, is where we'll be finishing up. So chapter 18 and chapter 19. So please join me. We got a lot of great word this morning. And again, I am excited because God is so good. And so go with me, y'all. Matthew chapter 18. And it says this, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of it, surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. And all I can say every time I read this, I think of my godparents again. Grateful that they were in my life. Thankful that my mama saw that I needed parents because my mother was young and she understood I needed the stability of a mother and a father. And so I'm thankful. I love my mama because she did what was best for me. And I'm thankful. I am so thankful. I wouldn't be sitting here had it not been for my mother and my godparents who loved me, who guided me, and who showed me how to live right and righteous. So I'm grateful. You know, I am so grateful to my village that raised me, and they all know who they are. Many have gone on to glory that raised me, but I'm grateful that I still have my mother, who is one of my best friends. So I'm thankful to God for her in my life. But I tell you this, when I was little, my testimony as a child who didn't know Jesus yet, but I knew that there was something out there that was special that was in that building called a church, and I wanted to go to it. I remember at 4 years old, sitting on my front porch across the street from my godparents' house, and I would sit on the porch every Sunday morning and cry because I wanted to go to church. And I know I've told this testimony before, but there's nothing like a child getting church clothes and being able to know they're going to get to go to church. I got to go to church, and I never quit going till I got old and thought I knew more than I thought I did. Thought I could do me and not do God. And I made mistakes. But I'm grateful that I still had that foundation that brought me back. When God called me, I answered. Still made some mistakes. But I'm trying to get better. So hallelujah, I'm a work in progress. Just like so many others. Not perfect. Just love the Lord. And it goes on to tell us, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. Come on now. Caught up in it. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter your life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into the fire. And that pen there, if there are folks in your life that are causing you to sin, you got to let them go. If one is an eye that takes you into seeing things you don't need to see, that's the one you need to let go. If one walks you down the path towards adultery, if one is speaking to you and telling you how awful your spouse is, that's one you got to let go. You got to let go of those folks that every time you say the wrong thing, or you may be saying what's right and tight, but they don't like it. Every time you got something to say, they got to tell you how awful you are and how wrong you are, how right. They're always right, but you're always wrong. That's an arm that you got to let go. There's just some things you got to let go. Some people you got to let go out of your life. And sometimes those people that you got to let go are family. You got to let them go. You got to cut it off. If it offends you, let it go. Let it go. If it causes offense, let it go. To learn how to say, not today, Satan. I don't have time for your foolishness. Let it go. And it goes on to say, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you, in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. We all have been lost. And I thank Jesus that he came into this world to save us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is strayed? That was the title of our women's conference last year, our 10th year anniversary. You know, it was my 10 year was up as of last year as director. Well, actually this year started my new directorship of a new director for the women's ministry and the renaming of it. But W Faith Ministry, which will continue in a different way down the road, guided and not given me the complete vision yet. But when he does, you'll be hearing about it, folks, which will be a women's ministry also, but a church women's ministry. Started a new ministry this year. But the one that I was over, which was WC, for 10 years at our church. And our last conference was 99 and a half. Won't do. Ooh, this word right here was our conference word. And I go back to it again because we all have been the one that was lost. And we thank God that he didn't leave us out there. We were that one. And God brought us in through Jesus Christ. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for now not allowing me to be lost to the world. And it says this, what do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountain to seek the one that is strayed? And if he should find it, surely I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Hallelujah. The Lord loves our children, and we as parents and grandparents and aunties and TTs and extended family, godmothers, godfathers, we've got to watch over our children because the enemy is not after our old folks. He's after our babies, and we got to put a hedge of protection around them through prayer, through living right, so they see us doing what we're supposed to do, so they will do what they're supposed to do. And it says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses everywhere may be this. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. You got to let him go. That's like an arm. You got to let it go. It's not gonna change. You got to let it go. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. We have been losing a whole lot of hatred as men and women of God, as Christians. I should say evangelicals and those who claim Christianity, but all they spew is hate. We have loose hatred, and we got to start losing love. We got to loose love. Loose love in heaven, loose love on earth. We've got to loose love. The word of God says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. It also tells us, how can you say you love God and hate your neighbor? Hate your brother, hate your sister, hate everybody, but claim to love God. You're a hypocrite. We can't do it. We got to. If you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Jesus is with us this morning. Jesus is in the midst. Hallelujah. All I can say is thank you, Lord. He is in the midst. And it says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Oh, 149 times. I forgive. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. Whole lot of money. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience. can have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now you think about it. He owed 10,000 talents. This person owed him, let's just say, he owed $1 million. And this person owed him $100. And so he goes out and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison so he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servants, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that it was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you, from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass. So how can you say, I love God, but hate your brother, hate your sister, hate everybody, gotta vilify everything and everybody. But then yet when you are in trouble, you want to holler, Lord, help me. We got to learn how to help each other. We got to learn how to love each other. We got to be kind to strangers. But you never know, you may be implicated and go run away. And as we go back to the life lessons from chapter 18 of our word this morning, and it says in Matthew 18:3, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has in mind the humility of little children and their unconcern for social status or public opinion. He encourages us to place childlike trust in him, regardless of what others may think. Kids are so sweet. They are the freest persons you ever met. Kids don't see colors. Kids don't see statues. Kids don't see anything but kindness. When kids, you see kids and adults stay out of their business. Kids play together. They have a ball. They laugh. They have joy. But then parents come in and create havoc. Can't play with him, Tommy, because he don't look like you. Who cares? Tommy was having the time of his life because that was his friend. Parents create problems. And God is saying, you're going to be held accountable. I love working in children's ministry because children are free. They are free. They will tell everything. So I tell you, parents, be careful what you're doing at home because your kids will tell you business. Matthew 18:14, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. He is not willing that any shall perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. That includes children. You got to teach them right or wrong. Because when they know better, they do better. Matthew 18:20. Where two or three gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The Spirit of Jesus lives in each individual Christian, but he promises to be with them in a unique and special way when they gather in his name to worship service and mutual encouragement. Hallelujah. We got to go and spend time with each other. But when we spend time, just as we are spending time together this morning on this Blog Talk radio station, we are bringing in the Lord into the midst. Where two or three gather together in my name, I will be a God in the midst. He is in the midst of everything. And all we can say is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. and as we go into the word for this morning, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Let not man separate. And this is what it says in Matthew chapter 19. And it's about husbands and wives. It's about our spiritual walk with God. And it says this, now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these things, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea, beyond the Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And I put that, just any reason. I don't like that she don't cook every day, even though I have food in the refrigerator, even though I have everything I need, but she didn't cook a new meal today. So I'm divorcing her. I don't like that she's gained a little weight, so I'm divorcing her. I just don't like the way her hair looks. I'm divorcing her. I think she needs, you know, to put on a little makeup. But she don't wear makeup, so I'm divorcing her. You know, I don't like the clothes she's wearing, so I'm divorcing her. I don't like that she's in church all the time. I'm divorcing her. I don't like that she has to go to work. And, you know, she spends too many hours at work, even though she's paying bills. But I'm divorcing her. You know, I just don't like her. Because, you know, she don't do everything I say. And I have to chastise her. So I'm divorcing her. That way, kick that in the flesh and kiss it in the spirit. I have to chastise her. And, you know, she's now rebelling against me and fighting back and called the police. So I'm divorcing her because she said I was abusive. So I'm divorcing her. Again, she don't want to have sex with me like she did before we got married. So I'm divorcing her because, you know, we got married because of the sex. Not because we were friends, not because we loved each other, but because of the sex. That's it. And, you know, and she's upset because I want to have sex with other people too. So I'm divorcing her. Because she said, I can't cheat with my girlfriend. So I think I'm going to marry my girlfriend. You know, all these stupid things. You know, I'm sorry, Lord, wow, I don't know where you're coming up with all this. But anyway, let's keep it going. So it says, for just any reason, that's that. And he says, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Two, not three, not four, but one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God, I will try to catch this, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And what God joins together is a man who finds a wife, finds a good thing, and finds favor with the Lord, not a woman who takes down a man and got and married him, or a woman who cheated with the man and took him from his wife, got him. You are not joined together by God. And I'm calling it like it is. You got to know that you are joined together by God when it is done decent and in order. And it goes on to say, then they said to him, then why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away? And you know what Jesus told them? Jesus said, and he said, and he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, committed you to divorce your wife from. But from the beginning, it was not so. Say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her is divorced, who is divorced, commits adultery. His disciples said to him, if such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry. Now they sound like Paul, right? But he said to them, all cannot accept that saying, but only those to whom it has been given. for there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb. You know, and I went to the Amplified when I saw this word this morning. I want to come back to you with it from Amplified. And it says, and I'm going to go right here, and it says, why, and I'm going to start where it says, why then did Moses command us to give our certificate of divorce and send her away? He said to them, because your hearts were hard and stubborn, Moses permitted you to divorce your wife. But from the beginning, it had not been this way. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery. The disciples said to Jesus, if the relationship of a man with his wife is like this, is it better not to marry? But he said to them, not all men can accept this statement, but only those with whom the capacity to receive it. It has been given. But there are eunuchs who have been born that way from their mother's womb, making them incapable of consummating a marriage. Born that way, making them incapable of consummating marriage. And then there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men for royal service. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves so for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, who is able to accept it, let him accept it. And then it goes on to tell us, and it says, and then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to entertain into life, keep the commandments. Enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which one? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's six of the commandments. Six out of ten. And the other, you already know, that other part, other half, is loving God and obeying God's will. Not having other gods before him. Not no idolatry. Keeping the Sabbath holy. Not creating idols. And it goes on to say, and okay, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. No covetous spirit. And as you go there, it says, and young men said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, and surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. Come on now. But with God, all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Put a pin there, because we saw this in Revelation. Jesus told you who those 12 are sitting on the throne. And it says, and everyone who has left houses, our brothers, our sisters, our fathers, our mothers, our wives, our children, our lands, for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. The many who are first will be last, and the last first. But remember that. And as we go back into some life lessons and life examples, life lesson from Matthew chapter 19:6 says, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Marriage is not merely a social convention, as many declare today. It is far more than a piece of paper. In marriage, God joins a man and a woman into a single family unit. This is what makes divorce tragic. This is what makes divorce such a tragedy. God put this together. I'm grateful that God put me with my husband. 32 years of marriage. And then God departed us, not divorced. And as we go back together, says, but I say this, well, my God put this pin in there. God is not wanting people to stay married. He does not want a woman being beat morning, Monday through Friday, and then Saturday for good measures, and then Sunday sitting in church besides a abuser who thinks he's doing what's right because he said he is. God is not wanting that. I don't believe that with any part of my being, that no woman, no children should be abused by anybody, especially someone he's supposed to love and protect him. Then I believe that is a divorce. And you need to leave that situation. And I'm speaking to I don't know who, but if you are being beaten, you are being abused verbally and physically and sexually even, you got to get out. Trust God that this is one of those cases where you need to get out to save your life. Good, but not good enough. In Matthew 19:6, a rich young ruler went to Jesus and asked, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may enter, have eternal life? What he was really asking Jesus was, I've done so many good things. Haven't I done enough to earn eternal life? Like so many people, the rich young ruler was asking the wrong question. Now remember that eternal life is more than just life without end. Eternal life is also a quality of life. It is the life of God. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you receive him by faith. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who went to the cross and died for your sins in order to reconcile you to God. Then the Holy Spirit came to live in you, and he is the life of God in you. You see, the rich young ruler emphasis was on, fortunately, this is a great deception. Eternal life cannot be earned. Galatians 2:16 and Ephesians 2:8-9, 2 Timothy 1:9. We'll never perform in a manner so good that God will see what we've done, approve of us, and give us eternal life. Sadly, that's the way most people approach God. Of course, the real problem with that idea is that it ignores our sinful nature. We are naturally disobedient to God. Romans 7:14-24. We cannot do the things God created us to do or fulfill the purposes that God wants us to fulfill apart from the life of God in us. Therefore, we disobey God and break his law. We sin. And as James 2:10 tells us, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one, he is guilty of all. So when people think if I do better in a few areas of my life, surely God will accept me. They don't realize that doing better does not take the care of the real problem. What is the real problem? Even one sin earns a penalty of death. Romans 6:23. Good works cannot erase sin. That's why good works can't save us. Because they can't erase the sin debt we already owe. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross can do that. It is Jesus possible for us to be forgiven of our sin debt. There will never be anything else that can eliminate our death penalty. Of course, that rich young man believed that there was something that he could do to earn eternal life. And the great tragedy is that he walked away from the one person who could give it to him, Jesus. It's a tragic decision that so many people make in life. Friends, don't make that same mistake. Don't walk away from the Savior. Don't walk away from Jesus. Make him your Lord. Make him your Savior. Hallelujah. I accept you, Jesus. And please forgive me for all my sins that I have committed in thought, that I have committed in word, that I have committed in deed against your divine majesty. Forgive me. We got to repent. Matthew 19:23, surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is it hard for the rich to enter heaven? For the same reason it's hard for the strong or the bright or the politically connected. They tend to rely on their own resources. Pride keeps them from trusting God's resources. Are you trusting God today? Matthew 19:30, many who are first will be last and the last first. God loves to exalt the humble and humble the proud. So Paul says, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And that is our word, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and 31. Thank you all for listening in this morning. Before we go, a prayer that God has given me for today. You know, I thank God again. Prayer changes all kinds of things. If there's anybody that needs to speak or God has given you a word, please push the number 1 on your phone and your lines will be opened up. This is the day that the Lord has made. If God has given you anything, raise that hand. And that is by pushing the number 1 on your line or calling 213-943-3597. Put that in your phone. It is our dial-in number. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. James 1:17, NASB. Good Father, you are full of kindness towards your children. There are no hidden motives in you. You don't change your mind after you decide. You don't give a gift and then take it back, threatening your children so they will stay in line. That's not how you work. You are better than the best parent. Your motives are not selfish. They are pure love poured out. You know better than any of us, leading us in the kindness. Come on now. God is good. Leading us in the kindness of your heart. Your gifts are a reflection of your character. They don't go against it. I will not be confused what is from you and what is not, because the fruit of it makes it abundantly clear. I am so thankful for your generous heart that continually pours out into those who love you. May I always stay in this open space of receiving, leaving the doors of my heart open to you and your influence. There is no better love in all the earth. And the question is, what good gifts do you see in your life? And I see all of you, and I thank God for you. Have a blessed day, family. As we get ready to wrap up, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. And as we end with a couple of words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, from Carolyn's Gift on yesterday. I pray that whatever is overwhelming you right now be removed. I speak the peace of God to comfort your heart and mind in Jesus' name. Amen. And then our scripture for today from Sister Carolyn is this. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19, King James Version. Have a blessed Sunday, family, and know that there is no God but one, and he loves you more than you could ever imagine. Be blessed and know that God loves you, and so do I, and there is nothing you can do about it. But have a blessed and wonderful Sunday, Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and let God use you for his glory. Be blessed. It's a wrap.